Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we'll have a great guest here to introduce. It is first Juliane Nagel, and I'm very happy to welcome this wonderful lady who is the founder of 4Impact and turns change into opportunity with strategy, momentum, and political networks. She makes companies future ready. And then I'm very happy to welcome afterwards Lily Nalalovi and Jesko Willard. Lily and Jesko, the artist duo, they turn trauma into art. Their vibrant environments and installations connect travel, emotions, and messages of peace worldwide. And they were awarded for their brilliant work with kids also around the world. So I'm happy to start now with a song selected by Juliane.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens, but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you? You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just holds after a hurricane comes a rainbow, maybe a reason why all the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will glow, and when it's time you know, you just gotta ignite the light and live.
Welcome, Juliane. I'm very happy to have you here.
Hi, Annabelle. Thanks for having me.
And I would like to introduce Juliane with a few words here. So change isn't a light switch. It takes time, courage, and a clear strategy. Juliane Nagel, founder of 4Impact, chose how transformation becomes opportunity, not obstacle. With expertise in business transformation, geopolitics, and political networking, she guides companies safely into the future. Get ready for a fireworks display of some insights. Here's Juliane Nagel.
Hi. Yeah, it's fantastic to be here today. I have to say, when you describe what I do, it sounds like I'm saving the world every day. But at least I can say what drives me is precisely the question that you brought up on how Europe can remain competitive in a world shaped by that geopolitical uncertainty, energy transitions, and technological disruption while staying true to its democratic values.
I would like to talk with you today about political things, but I would like also talk with you about female power. But I would like to talk with you also today about your own power. I mean, we have outside crises worldwide. Wow. We have torture we see, or we could see every day just turning on the television. But besides this, we're talking about longevity. I mean, when you hear the word longevity, what do you think first about? What does it ring a bell to you? And yeah, what makes it with you?
Well, first of all, if you take it most practical, longevity obviously means that we stay here as human beings for a longer time than would currently be the result of our lifestyles, so that we work toward living healthier and better to sustain our life endurance. But frankly, I think it was born, unfortunately, in the perception of the fact that human beings have to be perfect or optimize their existence. And in that, I think there's a current development where we can see that human beings are focusing much more on the counterbalance of sustaining their life, being good to themselves, but also looking at the value of psychological stability that, in my opinion, is also largely brought around by the stability of political systems, because psychological health has a lot to do with the feeling of being safe.
Absolutely. You bring a big word to the table, safety. And I mean, everybody has stress in his life, and everybody has, of course, also challenges, obstacles, things which are not really in the way you would like to have them. People are doing differently with this. What daily ritual contributes you to your long-term vitality, having so many responsibilities also on the table, but also being a kind of visible person?
I think there are several things that, as you like to say, keep me sane in this troublesome world. But one of the things that I very much underestimated before starting to do them was writing down three key things at the end of my workday that made me happy. We have a tendency, at least in my cultural environment, to be confronted with, but also look at what is exhausting, draining, sometimes infuriating to us. And to counterbalance that, I like to finish my day with three things that made me happy.
Is there something also which you have literally unlearned, a kind of?
Yes, like all others during my student times, I indulged a bit too much in smoking. And I am quite thankful to the UK that the prices were so high on cigarettes that it drove me to give up smoking. I mean, a pound a cigarette, geez. I mean, yeah, I was done with smoking then.
Well, that's great. I mean, because a lot of people hang on to their habits, just it's habits. And I mean, a lot of people also see this as a kind of trend, not as a kind of being something which means something to you, which can go also along with that what is around you. Because I, from my point of view, I understand that if you don't understand sustainability for yourself, what it means to live sustainable in a way of being nice to yourself, treat your body really in a nice way, have good thoughts instead of toxic thoughts all the time. How should we be able to support sustainability in an ecological system, in the economy, and in society? Because you have to understand it first by yourself, right?
You're completely right. I think any kind of change really starts with a shift in your own mind. And obviously, societal change is the sum of individual change. So everybody ideally starts with themselves. It makes the process a bit gruesome and slow, which can be said of democracies as well. But I believe that democracy as such is not only a political system. And what you just described is the basic thought of democracy, the accumulation of a number of individuals coming up and fighting for one idea. I think it's actually the foundation, as I said earlier, of psychological health, economic resilience, and sustainable progress. So, if we want to change the world, ideally we start by changing ourselves.
You are a kind of mixture, as a kind of cosmopolitan as me are, right? You have different countries in your blood. And from my perception, you're on the one hand very structured. On the other hand, you have this Mediterranean blood, which is maybe a bit more impulsive than you expect this from somebody growing up in Germany, somebody who is maybe more positive than somebody living here in Germany. What would you say is your kind of self-leadership? And how do you treat yourself? Do you have goals? Do you make maybe plans? Where you treat yourself in a kind of, oh, I have to finish this.
Well, thanks first for the compliment. Maybe for the listeners, I am truly what I'd like to call a European integration project. So my father is of Greek descent and my mother was a German national, but I spent a number of years studying in the UK and France. And I have to say, what I took away from that is that outside of Germany, our European neighbors have a tendency to live far more in the moment than we do. And it's also interesting to see when you get off the plane or the train or out of your car and you are in one of those different countries, suddenly your own behavior starts to change and adapt to what is inherent to the society where you've arrived. And you just change into somebody that's always part of you, because you wouldn't be able to be something that you don't carry around with yourself, but something that you don't give as much space when you're in a different society. And I think that's something that has helped me multiply different kind of approaches to life. So sometimes I go into my Greek bubble, even when I am in Germany. Sometimes I go into my French bubble or my English bubble, because it supports me in getting what I need in exactly that moment. And I have to say, this is also why the strength of communities and alliances, such as the one that we have in our European project, is something that makes me so happy, because it provides you with a huge variety of space that you can create your life in a different way in. And I feel it's a benefit to a colorful life that also opens up so many more doors and that would be closed. I mean, if you can just take one example, the Schengen era that's always existed my entire life, I was born in 91, is something that has given me the opportunity of going abroad very easily. Now, during COVID, suddenly that wasn't there. And it was for me something that I couldn't really put into the system of my life. It really overwhelmed me psychologically. And I wouldn't ever want to imagine going back to that state and losing that freedom to be able to go and find these different parts of my life on a daily basis, just get on my car, drive to Strasbourg, and suddenly be in France and not in Germany anymore, and go home whenever I need my structure back again.
I like this very much, because it brings me, it's not only important and interesting what you are describing, but it brings me also to another topic. When I think about my mother, I always thought, why is she so intelligent but not making something out of herself, which is bigger than herself? And I talked to her once and I said, Mom, I don't understand you. I mean, you have a great voice. You're a great painter. Why aren't you developing this? Why aren't you doing great exhibitions? Why aren't you working at the opera again? Why aren't you maybe writing books or whatever? And then she looked at me and she said, Anyway, you don't understand. And then I understood exactly that, what you just said, Juliana, that sometimes when we are not used to that, what happened the time before, we can't really judge and we don't know what it means. And she said, when I was a young girl, you couldn't sign a contract as a woman without asking your father or asking your husband, and you couldn't rent a flat. So imagine this is something I had in my blood, and thinking about three kids and then and having another job where I'm outside. And she said the first feedbacks when I tried to do this was, you have three kids. Are you not responsible for your kids? Are you not a good mother? Are you not a good wife? So it's often that we have to understand a bit where we come from. On the other hand, don't lie back on where we come from. Say, ah, okay, that's it. So this is our excuse. If you look at the current situation, after Trump just announced something about diversity, how he thinks about this, about female empowerment. If you look at the tendencies also here in Germany, what would you say? Is this female empowerment, or at which stage are we there? What is your, what would you say? What is your indication on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, thanks for giving that personal example of your mother. If you think about that background and just imagine founding your own business, how would that fit into that world? It wouldn't. It's plainly, it seems impossible to somebody with that kind of background. But I think this is what makes people, special, that they push past these boundaries, that they transgress the limits that have been put onto them by society. But for that to happen, people need to feel heard. They need to have rules to be transparent. They need institutions that are trustworthy in order to feel safe. And safety is what really enables creativity, innovation, and long-term thinking. So in order to build that basis in a world that you just described, where certain heads of states have a particular opinion on that kind of freedom and safety, is very difficult. And I believe that even more needs to push us to stick to our core values. As I said initially, the project in the UK that the Princess of Wales has started with the Early Fives is a very, very strong project on that topic, because young children, this is where, you lay the seed for their perception of the world. And it's something that we can learn a lot from in Germany, because education has been a part that has been very much neglected in the past decades over here, and educating people on a very early stage to give them that feeling of trust in institutions and transparency and rules is essential for them to go ahead and be creative and innovative and keep us all competitive, what we're discussing nowadays. So, maybe to sum this up, we're not only in an economic transition. I think this is really important. We're in a trust transition. In a world where things are shifting on a much more frequent basis, we need to talk about how can we find something that remains and gives us that feeling of, well, I like to think of, everybody's done this, a swimming pool where you're in the 3 meters in Germany, jumping board, and you want to dive into the water, and you only do it if there's one friend waving from down there saying, "Come on, you can do it." And that's when we all jump. So we need that one friend.
Absolutely. I would like to talk further with you about that. I would like to talk further about your job and how it came to being not the person you are now, also business-wise. Now we have a small break of approximately 2 minutes and we see each other afterwards. So please stay tuned. We see each other back in around 2 minutes.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm happy talking further now with Juliane Nagel. Juliane, we talked about women's role, and if you look back into maybe your childhood or your younger self, have you had a role model?
Well, funnily enough, in my life, I was asked this question once before, and I gave a completely different answer. I'm not going to disclose what I did say. But nowadays, I would say, yes, I did. And actually, a very close-up one. My mom. When I grew up, she was working 3 jobs. She was working at a university for a publishment house. She became a teacher later on, all the while raising me and writing a PhD. And to be honest with you, although she was a much more academic person than I ever was, I feel that seeing her juggling several things at the same time really inspired me to take that for granted, that that's something I could do too. So mostly now when I work, I have friends asking me, yeah, but how do you have all these projects going on at the same time and remember what you did with all of them? And for me, it's just something I've always done. So yeah, that was a very good example and role model growing up.
Sounds great, because it's of course super nice to have a role model like this so close to you in any way, right? And having a mother who is strong is of course something which gives us also the idea that we can do more too, right? Do you think we have too little role models nowadays there? And you were talking also about the initiative of the Princess of Wales about the 5-year-old. Do we have also too little role models, maybe about raising our children, about dealing with each other, about treating each other?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when it comes to raising children, there is a big generational shift that's happening, and our systems are still catching up with the change that society has gone through in the past decades. Particularly when it comes to the role of a mother and a businesswoman that I cannot relate to, because I am not a mother myself, but I observe many mothers who are also businesswomen in my environment, like yourself, and who juggle all these tasks and have a lot of care work on their backs. And it's just something that I find has been too often discussed from a perspective of optimizing yourself and your sort of efficiency levels. And for a very absurd reason, I have a feeling that women go into a sort of competition amongst each other to show themselves and each other how much better they are coping with all the load. And to be honest with you, I think there's something we can learn from men. We could be much better in building communities and standing up for the fact that our day too only has 24 hours, and ideally we do sleep 7 to 8 hours of these. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of trust that we could build amongst each other in order to push that. And I was talking about trust earlier, and maybe just to say this to wrap my point up, even with organizations, it's the same. Transformation. And this is what we are going through. The role of a woman is in transformation, our society, and it has been for a very long time. But transformation is not a technical problem. It's a human and a systemic one. And in order to be able to pursue that, we need to build trust inside our organizations first and understand that uncertainty is the new normal we live in, but trust can be a stabilizer. So rather than showing other people how well we are doing, we could maybe instead show them that we have, certain efforts that we have to do, or certain troubles and challenges, and share these thoughts early on, coming back to the initiative of the early fives, and make it normal that it's not easy to be a businesswoman and a mother.
I like your words very much, because it resonates not only because I'm in the situation too, but it resonates because I think we should be positive about it, but we shouldn't always think that we have to be the hero, the female hero. And on the other side, yes, I feel too that there are much more women jealous against each other, instead of raising up, instead of lifting up each other. And so that is also a reason for that I love very much what we have planned, Juliane, you and me and some other women around, to create there something which is not there to helping us even better to growing together, to growing each other, right? I would like to hear a little bit more about your business too. So would you like to give us also so the maybe so the from your point of view, the most important points of your work, also of how you became you became this in this or you came into this position, how you became this vision expert, this trusted advisor in the area where you're working?
Sure. Maybe to keep it brief, and we were already talking about this, you mentioned how the world is changing currently and how companies, organizations in general are confronted with this situation. And generally speaking, for me as an entrepreneur, my goal is to help organizations to move from reacting to actually acting, and to support them to see the bigger picture in order to be able to translate what is happening in that environment into a concrete strategy and go into something deeper to actually get into an implementation mode, which is very hard to achieve. Everybody who's tried to lose weight, quit smoking, move across the country has experienced that once in their lives. And I think today we have to acknowledge that competitiveness is no longer just about efficiency. It's about resilience, sovereignty, and the ability to cooperate. So we are a partner for our clients to help them understand how they can do that and how they can move forward. So maybe to give some concrete advice in this context as well, it's really important to do a geopolitical reality check at the moment. Where are your dependencies, energy suppliers, technology, and such? And to build a strategic partnership, because no company can handle all the complexities at the moment alone. And it's important to measure resilience, not just profit, and to include supply security, adaptability, and decision speed. But with all of this being said, I think that the future of competitiveness will not be decided by efficiency alone, but by these three points: resilience, sovereignty, and democratic stability. And as a political scientist, and I said this earlier, I studied in the UK, this has always been a topic for me. I moved through several institutions and stages in my life where I was allowed and able to work for the European Parliament. I really enjoyed that. I worked in an IT startup in the UK, which has given me, I suppose, the startup resilience a little bit. But I ended up where I am right now because I feel that there is a dire need for people to work across silos. And I really love to connect people. I enjoy networking very much. I feel that sometimes it's easier for me to translate the meaning of what one said into what the other should hear in order to implement change. So I always wanted to be a diplomat. I guess I've ended up being something like a diplomat.
Yeah, I think you're a diplomat, not just only in your professional life, but also in your private life, no? And I think what is special is if you have the idea of diplomat, and I think it would be great if there are more people to have the idea of being a diplomat, you behave in a different way. You think also at the other side and think of your action, what reaction it will build because of the horizon the other people has. It builds also communities and unifies and instead of thinking first about what differentiate us and where are the differences, it thinks more about where do we have something we can do together. And I would love if more people have this idea about this and have the ability, as you do, to transport this not only to other people on your professional side, but also on your private side. And I think you are a sample of doing this in a perfect way, as you have chosen there, of course, roles where you have to if you want to be good, if you want to drive things further in the idea of harmony for your own life, of the people and the people around your further environment, but also for society. I think you can deliver a lot more. And I'm very happy to have you. I'm very happy to driving together with you the world a better place. And I'm very much looking forward to the things we do together. Thank you, Juliane Nagel, for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So then we move to our next talk guest, and I'm happy to say hello to Lily and
Hello.
Jesper.
Hello, Juliana and Annabelle. And yeah, thank you for inviting us.
It is a pleasure for me to have you, Lily and Jesko, and I really like to remember an exhibition of you a few years ago, where I got a great painting, which I love. And maybe this painting, I mean, for me, it symbolizes a little bit the work you do. This woman who is in this painting, the main figure, she's not visible with a face, but she has an elegance and she has a posture. And everybody would say, oh my God, this woman has character, even being there without a face. And even there without doing the ego, a kind of ego number, we would say, right? She is just doing her job. She's carrying maybe some water on her head to another place to feed. But she does it with such an elegance, which for me showed a little bit of your work, bringing this elegance to children to help them integrate, but always doing this with a kind of elegance which comes from nature but also from our personalities. And I mean, maybe I'm totally interpreting something into your work, which is just on my own idea. But before I continue, I would like to introduce you. So, from Hamburg to Venice, from Lamu to Berlin, Lily and Jesko create art that transforms spaces and touches hearts. Out of deep personal history, they craft colorful installations and immersive environments, a journey for the eyes, for the soul, and for the mind, and often also for the feet, because sometimes you can just walk into it, or you could maybe, if we are talking about a boat, right? So, Lily and Jesko, the artist, do turning trauma into beauty. Of course, this is a topic you combine very rarely without being a spiritual healer or somewhere. So, I would like to drive my first question, Lily and Jesko. Have I described you completely wrong in your work, or would you like to add there something as a kind of intro?
No, I think you described this very, very beautiful.
Very well,
Yes,
very
very well. You
beautiful.
understand it completely with your heart, I think. Yes.
Yeah, it is funny because children often like paintings where you see a lot of things, where they see also faces. My child is often standing in front of your painting and is saying, "Mom, who is this woman?" I said, "I don't know. It could be every woman." He said, "Yeah, okay. But what is the name? What is she thinking currently?" And then I say, "What do you think?" He said, "Oh, I think she has a mission. I think she is a mother. I think she has some duties, but she likes her day. Do you also like your day, Mom?" So it gives him some freedom to think. And this is what I like, that a painting is an invitation. And an invitation to get some ideas on your own life, on maybe questions you normally don't ask yourself because they don't come around.
Yes, and we love that the paintings give you a kind of inner peace also when you contemplate it, because like Jesko also is doing a lot of water landscapes, and the people often tell us that they give you an inner peace, that you get relaxed when you look at it. And this is also when we do the complete environments, which we did often when we transform buildings, and buildings which had also a kind of negative spirit. And by just we transformed a huge old hospital, for example, which was abandoned in Hamburg, or we transformed a former office, a villa, which was like a office for getting your passport. And then we transformed it, and the people didn't feel anymore the vibe which has been before. They really enter often our spaces and tell us, "I'm getting so happy." And I think that's what we want, increasing happiness and joy with our artwork.
And of course, also to add, to have feelings, to be inspired, to dream, and to relax from the daily work. So it's also a pleasure to come to an exhibition and to get some open-minded new ideas for another struggling of, or to think about the next day or the next holiday or what to do in life or to change or to go in the landscape again to enjoy nature.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is what I feel in the color explosions of your work. Every piece has a kind of spirituality, but it's not something which you put in it as a kind of mandala, or as a kind of showing maybe a temple or something. It completely reduces its spirituality to just showing nature. Just showing pieces of nature, which is of course also being a human, when we understand each other as not deserted from nature, but as a part of it, what we are. And what would, if we realize this, I think, solving a lot of challenges we have currently in the world.
Yes. Yes. For example, at the moment we are painting a lot of flowers, because we want to make an exhibition with these flower paintings in September in Hamburg. And because, you know, flowers, a simple flower, the language of flowers, often you bring also flowers in a hospital or when somebody is sad, but also if somebody
got a complaint,
yes, got a birthday. But often also if somebody is sad, it's such a little gift, but flowers can change the whole room, and it's such a little thing for increasing happiness and joy.
Yeah, it's a big happiness, and it's also about bringing back the physical strong from the nature. Not the nature is giving us answer for our life, to follow where to go in direction, or to enjoy or to relax from all this, what is in the head, in the feeling, or in the heart, or what is to do. Or to be, as Juliane mentioned before, to be perfect. But then you can see, oh, there's something in the nature not so perfect, and it's okay, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I like your idea of showing the nature of beauty because a lot of people seem to have forgotten it or have no relation to it. And I remember when there were a few days before Valentine, the man next to me told me, "Oh, I think I won't buy you flowers because the flowers, they just survive for a few days. I will buy you something which is more durable." And I said, it is not about just thinking about durability. Flowers are a symbol, and even if they, if they have a first day where they're shining, and a second day where you see that, that they are not the most precious anymore, this is maybe also part of life. Seeing things as a symbol and not just always thinking about how much money it's left or if you can use this again or so. Sometimes it's just the act of of happiness, the act of being surprised, the act of something which has more value than just if you get, for example, a gold barrel and say, "Oh, great, this is something I can use for the next 10 or 20 years." It is another symbol if you send a flower, right? So
Yes.
I would like to talk further with you about flowers, but also about health, about paintings, about the power of art. After a small break of 2 minutes, we see each other in 2 minutes. So please stay tuned and we continue afterwards.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions to find out more. Please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Lily and Jesko, if we look from outside on your story, then it's a story of love and it's a story of overcoming obstacles, and it's a story of a deep mission you have, if I would say it from my perspective. And if people from outside would like to know, then I would like to give a small information about that, because you have lived and worked together ever since. And you fell in love right away when you met dancing at the famous dance club Soul Kitchen in Hamburg in 1990, when you were both studying art at the School of Fine Arts in Hamburg. And since then, you are together and you bring together your spirits and you fight together, you find solutions together. What a big mission. But you are both also survivors of huge traumatic childhood and youth experiences. And you are, it took a long process, and you helped each other also by overcoming and transform this negativity, this feeling like a victim, into positivity and just into handling opportunities. Would you like to talk a little bit about it? I know I haven't asked you beforehand. Maybe it's too intimate for you, but if you'd like to talk a little bit about it, I think we're happy to listen.
Yeah, thank you for the question. The working process and the developing from exhibition already showing two, three, four, and mostly 36 or more works is also so involving that the process already is a kind of healing to say you work for an appointment to show your inner feelings or whatsoever. It's confronting and reflecting also your own work and thoughts. And this is what we also choose together, that we can work together out the exhibition and to feel comfortable and to work whatever it is in circumstances. Not only our own personal life struggling or problems, but also to come over it to realize the exhibition.
And would you like to? I mean, you're helping so many children overcoming the obstacles. Would you like to give some insights in maybe what happened, or maybe how you overcome this, or how you could overcome this in the past in your lives?
I think it's also by looking to the own history. And for example, I was doing a big research also on my family history to understand more what happened in the past and why I was affected by the habits of my mother or my grandmother and so on. And by making this research, I could understand also my own biography better. I think this is for me, this was very important in the last years also. But with the children, I mean, the children are very young, but we heard that when we returned to Lamu after 12 years, we have been the first time we have been in Lamu invited 2012, and we returned 2024. And the beautiful thing that we heard that 12 years before, we were the first artist who worked with the children with painting. They never had, because it's
It's not.
Islam, is it Islam?
It's a moderate
Moderate
Islam.
Islam, but they have
It's
no,
also forbidden,
yeah.
no? But
But they have no art in their school schedule. And so we were the first who gave this input that art, we can do art together. And in these 12 years, two art schools, private art schools, developed in Lamu. And it was like a seed that we set 12 years before by doing this action painting project with the children. And now it's really flourishing in Lamu. It's incredible.
It's,
They
yeah,
do so many things.
it looks more than an artist colony now, and everybody is doing something, fashion or art, and the children are very much more used to it. That before they got a stick in the base school and with their children in the religion school, and nowadays they cannot scratch only with colors on the wall, but they can do more things. It's more easy also for the adults to understand that they're doing something, that they are painting, that they're enjoying the colors. They were dancing on the canvas with us after 12 years and singing their own songs together on the canvas with the feet, and they were mixing with the feet the colors and dancing, and it was very
Fun free.
fun, lovely to
Yeah.
see. And we like to go a little bit back. We are not the frontiers how you say, the first artist also important. We give them more space to be their artist or to become their human being, trying to...
And as you mentioned, the dancing, because in the last exhibition in, yeah, in Lamu, the central room, because we also transformed a whole building there, the central room was a dancing space. And the title of this whole exhibition and whole artist project for 6 weeks was, we did a mixture of Swahili and English, and it was Pamoja, we have a dream, Amani, which means together we have a dream, peace. And this was written, and then we had a cool DJ, and everybody danced together. And as there are so
under
many
the canvas for the children, no?
Yeah, and there are so many different people who in Lamu who speak so many different languages. We said dancing is a language, a universal language. You don't need words, and you just understand each other by smiling to each other by moving with each other. And this was such a great experience, and old and young and people, local people
and the children
from
did,
abroad.
And the children did, they have done this painting under we've all been dancing together. So it was very, very normal, naturally, to do so. It's more a colony of normal African life there, mixed with Arabs, Bantu, or black skin, P4Cs, or whiteys, or Kenyan Africans. So very mixed, and it's
really beautiful, yeah.
Very beautiful, inspiring.
And I can imagine, really, while you were telling this, I came a picture to my mind of a friend who built up a great community in South Africa, taking kids out of slums which lost their parents and building for them wooden houses. And I'm the patron for that, and fundraising to get money for that, bringing youth to this place for internships. But what I wanted to tell you, she last Christmas she sent me a video, and this video showed this kid singing a song, and they used old bottles as a rhythm instruments, and it was so full of not harmony but engagement and enthusiasm.
Yes.
There was so much power and so much happiness, and my kid looked at that and said, Mom, why do they use these old bottles? Why can't they use real instruments? I said, it is not about the old bottles. It is about enthusiasm. It is about life. It's about feeling, being inspired. And there I thought, yes, this might be the difference. I mean, we're here so much trained on being perfect, or having having clean clothes, having the right clothes for that. Here it is more about just being together, celebrating community,
yes,
and overcoming obstacles and completely other obstacles, where we here in this this first world might struggle with that if we have too little water, if we have too little to eat.
We didn't, when we did the projects, we never brought materials from Germany. We just looked, what do we find, and let's do it. For example, we didn't give them pencils. We just took the charcoal, the cold charcoal of the fire, which they use normally for cooking. And it was funny to see
to
that the children, they were really like excited when we had these baskets of charcoal. I mean, normally they know this charcoal from their mother for cooking. And now they discovered, oh, I can paint with it and I can sketch with it. And and we just took pigments from the shops around. And so it was like, oh, we have everything. We don't need something from abroad. We just have it here. Let's do it.
I really like your whole environment. Lily, for example, you learned sculpturing. You learned also carpentry. So you learned how to create rooms. What rooms do you create for yourself to recharge your batteries?
It's, I think we, it's always, we love to create complete artworks, and we don't stop. We do our paintings, but we cannot stop at the frame of the painting. We have to do coloring the room. We create our own lampshades, our own lamps, because for us also lightning is very important also in our exhibitions. We don't like when the light is too clear or too white. We want that it's a kind of soft light, and I think this is also why the people often tell us, "I'm so happy," because it's a very cozy, it's a very, you feel cozy, you feel wrapped in love, in something beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Jesko, you have also a passion for boats. You sail different vessels around the world. So boat, being on the road is also a big topic for you. Would you like to give me an idea how you stay always positive, how you stay positive-minded, how do you stay so engaged? What are your secrets in your day?
Good question. And yes, I was learning sailing when I was a small boy, and my mother told me I was could sail before writing and reading and calculating. I could first sail a boat, and this is what really is nowadays. I'm doing more windsurfing. I changed a little bit from boats to windsurfing, as I was trained when I was a small boy too to do windsurfing, and I've got plenty boards now, 20 sail, 9 windsurfing boards, and I'm really into it. And I like the coast to explore more coast. Also here we are in Hamburg, of course, near Denmark or Netherlands. I was surfing in near Polska. And what is really charging me is also with the nature, to feel, to take the rhythm of the nature when it's when it's possible, when it's not possible, to feel the reflection. Oh, this is too much for me. This is good. To feel also safe when I'm doing it, and this is giving me very much life from the nature. I feel more connected to the nature than when I do windsurfing, for example. I figured out that I can do very much good sailing. I'm a good sailor, but I also in I love harbors and ports, and I'm very enthusiastic about it. And I watch in I'm looking at the in all the world's countries, the harbors, how they do their sailing and how they create their boats. And it's a lifetime study.
It's great. I mean, I feel that, and I would love to talk further with you. Unfortunately, our We Empower radio show comes here again to an end. And who likes to get more from you? Just have to look up in the internet. It's full of great paintings, sculptures, and artwork. And who want to be at an exhibition just have to drop there. So thank you so much, Lilia and Jesko, for the engaging discussion and for your inspiring insights. I'll really look forward to seeing more from you and the impact you do to the world. So I hope that you have taken all something away for yourself, because that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of you around the world. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration. Don't hesitate to get involved.